This is Jeff Carmack for KVSC News. Now, according to American psychologist Abraham Maslow, every human is motivated by a hierarchy of needs. It kind of looks like a pyramid of sorts with five levels. Your basic survival needs come first, such as food, shelter, clothing, and breathing. Next comes your safety issues, so that you may feel stable in your environment and free from things which might harm you. Then comes a sense of community, friendship, and family. Unfortunately, at this point, many people think that that's all that we need. And these last two steps are generally overlooked in our culture as being extravagant and even unnecessary. They are, however, very important, especially in the framework of how healthy humans develop a healthy society. These steps are a sense of self-esteem, the confidence to have respect for self and others, and the step of self-actualization, a point of creativity, morality, spontaneity, and problem-solving. Somewhat recently, the voters of Minnesota created a very interesting program which speaks to these two final steps in the pyramid. They voted on and passed the Minnesota Legacy Amendment, which changed our constitution and increased the sales tax by 0.375% in order to provide for our cultural legacy into the future through the Minnesota Historical and Cultural Legacy Grant. While some might find any kind of taxation to be an abomination, others see this influx of funding as both a blessing and a challenge. It's a blessing in the sense that programs supporting our natural environment and our innate creative drives are being cultivated, and it's a challenge in the sense that every taxpayer is curious to see how their money is being spent, as well as what kind of return they're getting on this investment. One organization that has had some incredible success with legacy grants during the funding's first year of existence is the Great River Regional Library System. This network of 32 branch libraries has used its funding to promote over 500 new programs, which have served over 22,000 Central Minnesota patrons in ways that the library wasn't able to do before this funding was available. When I approached the library about producing a feature on them for KVSC, I was met with openness and excitement about the possibility of sharing their accomplishments. And I tell you what, I doubt there's anything more invigorating for a community than an excited librarian. So with that in mind, as we travel out into the country, we'll start off our look at the Great River Regional Library System in Painesville, speaking with branch librarian Gretchen Vork.
Right now, we're at Painesville branch of Great River Regional Library in beautiful downtown Painesville, Minnesota. My name is Gretchen Vork. I'm the branch manager here. I've been here 18 years.
Nice. You guys are pretty busy here, too, I notice.
Yes, it's a busy place. It always surprises people who haven't been here before, and I've on occasion even hired people who, you know, didn't expect the job that they got. They thought they were expecting something a lot quieter and a lot less harried, and it certainly is organized, but beyond that, it's a busy, exciting place most of the time.
Yeah, that organization and busy at the same time, it makes for a very busy job.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. One thing I was wanting to ask you about is the legacy funds that have come in to the library. Mm-hmm. How has that affected your guys' programming here?
Oh, it's exploded it into something so far beyond. It's what we wanted to do. It's the kind of reach and influence and possibility we've always wanted to have, but we've never had the money to do it. Up until now, I mean, we've got some pretty sharp people who work at the library, and we do programs ourselves, but we don't have the depth and the experience and the talent to do the kinds of stuff that we can hire people who are, you know, actors and teachers and musicians and artisans and craftsmen to show what they do and how they do it and share that talent with them. We can talk about what it looks like, but most of the time we can't come anywhere near the real thing. So it's been outstanding.
Well, what is the difference between telling somebody about it and then actually showing them? What does that actually bring to the community?
Well, it's like that old quote about, you know, dancing about architecture. Music is music, and you can talk about it all you want, but you're never going to really understand how, Barber's Adagio for Strings is going to hit you, you know, right in the gut and make you cry unless you've listened to it. And you're never going to understand the power of an outstanding theatrical work unless you've seen a masterful actor perform, you know, remarkable works. And it's like that with anything from, you know, we can show you what a paintbrush is, we can show you what the paints look like, but after that, unless you're an artist, and librarians can be artists, I know many of them, but unless you are one, you don't really know after that, and you can read a book and you can look at a DVD, but to have an artist talk about it, show you, show you some of his tricks and just watch them create or listen to them talk about how they created something they did. That opens up a whole other level of learning that's beyond what we were able to do before. And we're about learning. We just had Golden Age of Radio with Prudence Johnson and Dan Chouinard, which was wonderful. We had the seniors, especially in the audience, were on the verge of tears because this was, they remember the radio stuff. They remember the songs, and there were images that Dan and Prudence had worked with the Historical Society to get. So they had pictures of all the old people behind the radio. I had one woman, we hand out evaluations. I had one woman actually go bring hers home, write a big long response and mail it to me. It was so important to her that she knew that this was a remarkable thing that had happened in her life, and she was so pleased that we had done it, which is what we're getting with the evaluations. I've never seen people talking in such huge terms about how important this is. It isn't, they're not saying, gosh, this was nice. It's the gratitude is palpable and almost painful. It's just, we don't have things like this. It's been so hard in a small town to have access to this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing it. Please bring more. And so it's hard not to like that. that's a fun place to be sitting when you're the person who set it up and have people say, this is wonderful.
That is really cool. It's something that, you know, like in a small town, you maybe don't realize that there are things missing until all of a sudden it's there.
Yeah, there is some of that, but I think more than that, there are people who, you know, I've lived in small towns my whole life. I choose to live in small towns. But I'm aware that I am cutting myself off from easy access to a lot of the things that are important to me, and I miss it. It's a pain you feel, and so it's exciting and it's wonderful, and it's so far overdue to have this kind of stuff available, not just to the adults who kind of know what they're missing, but to the kids who don't. And I was one of those kids, you know, who went to college and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so far behind," because my world was so much smaller in a way. Than my classmates.
Well, what kind of things do you guys have coming up?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up. It just, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Right. People should check on our website, www.griver.org, under events, and you can find out.
Well, anything else you want to say about the library system?
You know, the only thing I would say is if you haven't been to a library in the last 5 years, you need to come back. It's not your mother's library anymore. It's a different kind of place. Exciting. These are the most exciting times in my almost 30 years as a librarian. It's lots of changes, and sometimes we're trying to figure out as fast as we can how to keep up and how to stay relevant. But those who thought that this technology and this kind of stuff was going to be the death of libraries, they just aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
We're the cultural center of small communities. The schools are to a degree, and if you have an active community ed, that is as well. But we are the one that's for everybody, for what everybody wants to learn. And I'm really excited about that.
Cool. Sweet. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for asking.
Right on.
And now we leave Painesville and drive up the road to the even smaller community of Uppsala, where the Uppsala branch of the Great River Regional Library has itself quite the treasure, and branch librarian Wanda Erickson.
My name is Wanda Erickson, and I'm the branch manager at Great River Regional Library in Uppsala. We are one of the 32 branches that comprise Great River Regional Library. I have an able branch assistant, Janice R. Girth, and we have a wonderful library aide also, Tanya Warga. And I want to mention them because, really, without their assistance here, we couldn't make a go of it.
Yeah, it does take a lot to run a library.
It does, more so than ever these days. People tend to have the idea of a library as being a dusty repository for tomes, for books that very rarely get checked out in their leather coverings. But really, libraries have changed, and technology is driving that, but also people's needs for recreational use and educational use, they're driving those changing ideas in a library.
How it evolves, the idea of the connectivity of the library.
Absolutely. We're part of the community here, a big part of the community. And even though Uppsala is small, only 424 population, we do a lot to provide cultural, educational, recreational materials, programming for the entire area.
Yeah, one thing I noticed just when I was getting set up, you were talking with a woman up front, and she said that she was from Pierce.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, that's part of the nature of families around here, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all over the place.
So. Yes.
And she was saying, oh, I left some things at home. I wonder how long it's, you know, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get them back, how much the late fee is going to be. And you said, well, you can just return them to Pierce.
Yes. And she didn't know that. And so people are always learning about the benefits of their public library system. In Morrison County, we pay about $16, $17 per person in our tax dollars to fund this whole library system every year. I think that's a really wonderful return on investment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you just look at the size of this room,
mm-hmm.
but if there's something, say, that's sitting down in St. Cloud in this much larger room that they have,
yeah.
it can make its way up here very easily.
In sometimes even less than a week. And that's a pretty good return on investment, too. To have that kind of turnover and that kind of rapidity in your request is good. Yeah, we have a growing bank of databases, online resources that people can use right from their home. Sometimes I find it very funny to think here I am on my couch in my slippers and I'm requesting books and it's 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about as well is how are the Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds, the Legacy Fund,
yes.
how has that affected the programming?
I believe that the Legacy programming has had a tremendous and successful effect on programming in the Great River system. I can't speak so much for other branches, but I can certainly speak for Uppsala. I am also the K-12 librarian. I serve in the elementary school and in the high school. And I, therefore, have tried to make this a cooperative effort as much as I can. And the community, the whole area, has benefited from that. And this year, we are going to reach out and we're going to help provide some programming into Holdingford, which doesn't have a branch library, but they're people. They're people that live there. Use all of our branches, Albany, Royalton, Uppsala. So we're going to collaborate together with Deb Disher, their media specialist there, and we're going to provide some programming in that community, too. So those are the kinds of things that Great River could not have really done efficiently and well without this influx of legacy money. It's critical to us. It's become something that we look forward to having. It's providing for their educational, their recreational, informational needs. That's our kind of our mission in a nutshell. The legacy funding has provided so much more than that. It's kind of put meat on those bones. We have used in Uppsala that legacy money to provide author visits, author and illustrator visits, so that not only the children at school could see a real live author and talk to him or her and learn about the writing process, but they've also been able to watch an illustrator show how illustrations grow from a germ of an idea into a book, into a concept that that person then sells and makes a living at. And it's gone beyond that, too, in that not only the kids at school, but the adults in the community have come to see those programs and the homeschooling families in our community. Because it's based through the public library system, we have a way of reaching out to many of the groups that a school district, for example, doesn't have a lot of contact with, the adults, the older adults in the community, and the homeschooling families, too. And I think that's really a great benefit. It helps to enrich the lives of the entire area. We've had illustrators such as Mike Winutka, and we've had the Leo and Kathy Lara last year, who are musicians from Ecuador, who came in to our... We used our school because our new school has such a wonderful auditorium, and that facility is used community-wide. But they provided music that was tremendous and an opportunity for the audience to come up and be on stage and play the instruments. It was fantastic. The kids are still running around the community singing those songs. I'll hear them every once in a while singing the little Ecuadorian lullabies that were taught to them.
Nice. Yeah. It is one of those things. It's bringing a little bit more into the community, and that those little tiny things do a whole lot.
Yes.
So it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's really neat.
It is very neat. We are also not forgetting our older adults either. We've had, I shouldn't say older, I should say just say adults. Julie Kramer was here, and Jill Elizabeth Nelson was here. In fact, she was here right before she won a major national award for her mystery book, Evidence for Murder. So we're kind of getting authors on the cutting edge before they're really well known. But in Julie's case, of course, she's very well known. Wonderful visit we had from Constance Simar and her book, Abercrombie Trail, which chronicles the Minnesota Native American uprising in 1862. Wonderful programming that we've been able to give with the legacy funds. I wanted to also underscore that the legacy funding, what I have noted, sometimes anecdotally, just from my conversations with patrons, they come in and they'll say, there's always something going on at the libraries. We see the libraries in the paper. It's those legacy programmings, offerings that are driving that publicity. And the more publicity you have out, the more name recognition you'll have for the library itself. And I see that a lot. Our circulation here is incredible. Now, part of that is our new space, which we thank the Upsala area for granting us. But part of it is that legacy push, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very important for us.
Yeah, you keep those things out there, keep the programs going. It keeps it keeps it in people's minds.
Yes.
What are we
going
to do today? I don't know. Hey, let's go to the library.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. And they can check our website at www.griver.org, and they can find out events at any of the branches because we're one big community.
Mm-hmm.
It's been amazing what that legacy funding has done. I know that there are some people who feel that the legacy funding should be funneled through other resources in our state, but I do feel that the regional library systems have an excellent way of disseminating that funding.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it fulfills our mission, and it provides, especially in outstate Minnesota. We would not have the opportunity to provide Prudence and Dan. We wouldn't have had the opportunity to get this myriad group of author and illustrator visits in a small town like Upsala without this legacy funding, and that's what it's provided for us out here. Yeah, we're living in a global community. You hear that all the time, but yet sometimes in outstate areas, probably in other states, but I live in Minnesota, we kind of feel like the orphans out here to the big metro areas, and legacy funding has helped to smoothen that a little bit.
Yeah, make the world a little flatter,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas Friedman.
Yeah.
The world is flat.
Exactly. Well, so anything else you'd like to throw in there today?
I want people to use their libraries. I want them to come to all the libraries and find out what's going on in them and get the most out of their $16 to $20 a year that they can. You can borrow videos and movies and DVDs. You can borrow magazines. You can read your daily newspaper. You can order books. You can get CDs. Your library is the biggest untapped resource, I think. Use the library.
Excellent. Well, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you. It's been great talking with you. I love talking about libraries.
Yeah. So I'm just like, go ahead and talk.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and a news feature with me, Jeff Carmack, as I traveled around to some of the branch libraries within the Great River Regional Library System to see what kind of an effect that the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund has had upon them. Most likely there is a Great River Regional Library in your area. You can find out where by visiting their website at griver.org. We're now going to come back into town, stopping first at the Waite Park branch of the Great River Regional Library to speak with librarian Marilyn Patterson.
I'm Marilyn Patterson. I'm the branch manager of the Great River Regional Library, Waite Park branch. We're at the library today.
Nice. Yeah, this is a nice library. I drive past it a lot, and a lot of people probably drive past this. It's just right here on 3rd, and it's a lot bigger on the inside than I would have thought.
Well, this used to be the fire station, so you can see the evidence of the previous fire station, which is why we have these wonderful windows. And it's a very nice space. We're we're very tight in here. We could use a bigger space, but right now it's working okay for us.
Yeah, nice. Well, what are the kind of things that the Waite Park branch of the library will offer, I guess, to the people of Waite Park or anybody who wants to drop in?
Yeah, anybody. Pretty much we're just a branch of the St. Cloud Library, so you can check out, bring back. One of the nice services we have is that you can check out a book at another library in our system. You can drop it off at any other library, which is great. Pick up a book here, you can take it to St. Cloud, vice versa. If you want to place something on hold from our catalog, you can do that. So if a book is sitting in Staples, for example, at our branch there, you don't have to drive to Staples to get it. You can have it sent here for you, which is a very nice service. Anything you can do in St. Cloud, pretty much you can do here. They might have more programming than we do. But other than that,
It's a larger
much
building.
Much larger building,
so
yes.
A lot more opportunities there. So what are some of the different programs that you guys offer here?
It depends. We've had, during the summer, we focus a lot on children's programming because we have our great summer reading program. So we will bring in have a story time. We'll bring in children's performers. For example, this year we brought in Dennis Warner, who does children's concerts, and he did a celebration concert at the end of our summer reading program for that particular program and for the fact that it was coming to the end and that we had a great program. And he was funded through the legacy funding, so it was a great thing we were able to bring to the library.
Yeah, it definitely leads into the next question.
There we go.
how has this legacy funding affected your programming?
We've been able to offer more programming, which has been wonderful. We've brought in artists, we've brought in authors, we've brought in musicians. The other thing we've been able to do that I've really enjoyed doing is we've been able to partner with other organizations in the community. So, for example, when Waite Park had their Family Fun Fest in, I can't remember when it was, this past year.
June.
In June, yeah. We were able to bring in a performer from the cities who added to that program and added to that day for the kids. We've done a couple partnering things with Discovery. They just recently had the great theater there to perform Rumpelstiltskin. Mm-hmm. And also we did a program where we brought in some storytellers for their family reading night last year, so that was really nice too. And that's been able to, those are new partnerships we've been able to really expand on because of the legacy funding.
And why are programs such as, you know, family reading night, why is that so important that those are, well, continuing, I guess you could say, or that they're funded?
Yeah. Well, at Discovery, for example, I believe this was just the second or third time they've done the family reading night. So for us, it was nice to be able to add that to the program. It's already a great event for the parents and the students, but just to add that extra element just brings another dimension to the program. For the programming we do here, it just adds more, I think, again, to the experience of the patrons who come to the library. And I really see legacy as sort of a gift that we're giving ourselves and our children. Something extra that we get to have, and you know, they're free. People have really enjoyed being able to come to the library and meet an author or listen to some music that they wouldn't necessarily get to listen to. Well, I think the thing to stress is that libraries are more like community centers these days, and I'm sure you've heard that before from other people. It's not as quiet as people maybe are used to all the time. Right now it's pretty quiet, but other days it can be noisier, but there's just a lot going on. It's a very vibrant, exciting, ever-changing, ever-growing service that I think we're offering to our patrons and to the community.
Nice. Well, thank you for speaking with me.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you.
Right on.
And finally, I spoke on the phone with Beth Ringsmuth Stolpman, the Patron Services Specialist for the Great River Regional Library. And her office is at the home base in St. Cloud. And Beth, can you tell us what you do for the Great River Regional Library?
Sure. I'm the Patron Services Specialist for the Great River Regional Library. I cover the entire region, and I'm in charge of programming. Specifically right now, I'm administering the Arts and Cultural Heritage funding for our library system. It is a very big job and one that I take very seriously, and I'm very excited that our programs have gone so well over the last year, and I'm very excited about the upcoming programs that we have through the end of June 2011.
speaking with the other librarians around the state that I have, they're really excited about it as well. There is a whole lot of, well, programming that's happening. Can you tell us a little bit about that programming?
I am planning a bunch of events here from our headquarters in St. Cloud, making sure that the funds are evenly distributed across our region so that each branch gets a certain amount of things that I plan. And then each branch manager has some autonomy in how they spend a little pool of funds at the local level. So they can gear things towards their community, community interest, things that people have requested, things that people have enjoyed, they can have back. It's been really great.
About how many programs have you guys had this last fiscal year?
Oh, in the previous fiscal year, we had over 500 programs. It was astounding how many programs we made happen in such a short period of time. We got word that our funding was approved in October of 2009, shortly after I started in my position. And in like less than 9 months, we had over 500 programs happen. So it was a whirlwind. And we had over 22,000 attendees for those 500 programs, which is a pretty good average attendance per program. And all of our reports to the state are public information. People can access that. If they have any questions, they can certainly feel free to call me at the St. Cloud Library. We've made a lot happen.
Nice, definitely. And if somebody wanted to see what kind of programming the Great River Libraries had going on in their area,
yes,
what would they do?
They can go to our website. It's just griver.org, and our events calendar is a main link there on the left. You can see upcoming events also in the right-hand column on our main page. They'll show you what's happening today and in the upcoming days. But you can also search the calendar and limit just to legacy events, so you can see all of the legacy-funded events with one click. I am very excited about our partnership with the Great Theater, the Great River Educational Arts Theater that's based here in St. Cloud. It's a new partnership for us in this round of funding. We decided that it would be really cool to have the Great River Regional Library work with the Great River Educational Arts Theater. And they have offered a lot of really great workshops for kids on theater and creativity, and just recently we wrapped up a tour of an interactive fairy tale performance that they created specifically for our libraries. It was a retelling of Rumpelstiltskin, and they traveled around the region doing 10, 11 performances in 1 week for us, and those performances were enthusiastically received everywhere they went. We also have a partnership with Pages of Music, which is a classical music duo, and they're going to be traveling all over the region doing both performances and sort of educational workshops, both for kids and adults. And we just have so much going on. We do have a partnership with the St. Cloud Symphony Orchestra, and we're going to be launching those programs this winter and spring, sort of all ages intro to the orchestra programs.
Well, it seems like a lot of these organizations, they've been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And what I'm starting to notice after, you know, a year of this position that I'm in is that these legacy funds have really invigorated the existing organizations.
Yes. Yes.
And it's really a cool thing to see.
It is. Yeah, we've been really lucky to work with some really renowned theaters from the Twin Cities area and also some local theaters. Mixed Blood Theater is a name people probably have heard. They travel all over the state doing educational performances, and I'm really pleased that we've been able to work with them and both have their performances here and sort of support their mission. And the same thing goes for the Guthrie. We've just had some great successes with bringing their workshops here.
Well, thank you, Beth, for talking with me today.
Yeah, no problem.
More information on the Great River Regional Libraries and all the programs that they offer can be found, of course, on their website at www.griver.org, which can also be linked to off of our website at kvsc.org. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News, where I'm asking you to take that step towards self-actualization, creativity, and problem-solving by visiting your local branch of the Great River Regional Library. And this report was made possible through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and was produced by KVSC, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.